Hi everybody. I actually didn't want to start with the hi everybody phrase because I mean it's so cliche. Almost all YouTubers, I think those who record podcasts too, they start with hi everybody. And then I started. So well, my name is Victor, and this podcast is just I don't know if it's just gonna be the only episode. I mean it's just vibes and crews, you know. Just want to share my experience, my story, moving from Nigeria to another country, to be more specific, Senegal, West Africa. That's what this podcast is about, you know, just to, it could entertain you. I mean, I'm a very boring person, so I don't really see how this can entertain people. I don't know, it just might. So I think at this point I need to let you in a part of my background. So I studied mechanical engineering at the University of Lagos, and I have like post-graduation, I have about 2 to 3 years work experience as a mechanical engineer in an oil and gas servicing company in Lagos. I got this job offer in Senegal for an IT role. You know, it's kind of a bit, this is my first IT job, you know. Just thank God I was able to land it because I don't have a lot of things to learn, so it's not a really straight journey as some people might feel it is. It's gonna be a bit of a bumpy one, but then I'm of the mindset I can do anything, so we'll see how that goes. So yeah, I got the job offer and I meant to resume the 1st of May, because in Senegal here, if you either resume work on the 1st or you resume work on the 15th, so it's one of the two. So I decided to come to Senegal 26th of April. To Senegal. Let me share you guys my story about. So from Lagos to Dakar is about 7 to 9 hours, and just because of the whole COVID whatever, the airlines that normally come to Dakar don't come anymore. So there are just two airlines that actually do currently. That's Sky and Echo d'Ivoire. I actually boarded the Sky because I actually have a family member that is here in Senegal, and then I also have my mother always normally comes here for business. She's into fashion design, so she comes here with her designs and they make it here for her. Senegalese tailors are highly professional. They are very, very, very good with their designs. So she just comes with her designs and then they make it for her, and then she goes back to, you know, sell it. So all the stress is done here. When she gets back, she focuses on marketing. So she was giving me tips on whatever it is, and then she told me to board the Aska airline. So yeah, so the flight was a morning flight. I was checking was to start by 7. I was there before 7, you know, because of, you know, African parents now, if the plane is leaving by 12, if the check-in is starting by 12, be at the airport by 8. You know. And funnily enough, I think it was a very good decision, because we got there, started weighing my bag, you know, the excess, you know. I started doing all these things before. So I knew, I was prepared for the amount or whatever it is the excess could cost. My excess was about 25 kilogram, and the cost for 1 kilo excess is about 2,200 naira. So I think I paid about, if you do the calculation, about 60,000 naira for excess. So the flight had two stopovers, one in Lomé, Togo, and then the other one in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. So, all right, by 9:10 we were, I think by 10:35 thereabouts, we were already in Lomé. So we were to wait for the next flight. That was for, I think, about 1:30 or 12:30 thereabouts. So we were waiting for that. Then we boarded that. So on the flight from Lagos to Togo, yeah, I think I met a couple of people. So at the back where I sat, about three zero columns behind mine, there was this couple, interracial couple, a white guy and a black lady. They sat behind, you know. I noticed because obviously there's a white guy, you know, there's a white guy behind. You know, it's the white guy among black guys is not so hard to identify. So yeah, I was able to identify them. And I noticed that they were together. My head, probably they're married, probably they're dating, or probably she's just a female companion. But then they looked so close and everything. I don't know, I don't want to judge. But I actually had a conversation with them. So once we landed at Togo, you know, from the plane to the airport itself, from the hangar they call it here, from the hangar to, no hangar actually, because we're still parked, like from where the plane actually stops after they land to the airport, normally board the bus. So on the bus, that was where the conversation happened. So I noticed that he came in, you know, with his hand sanitizer. Then he used it for one. Both of them actually used it. And then he noticed I was looking. I didn't even really know how he noticed it because I had my glasses on, my cap was on. So he noticed and was like, "Do I want?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem. I don't mind." And I stretched my hands forward and then spread the hands. And then I wanted to start a conversation with them. So I was like, I asked if it was his final destination. Then he told me that this was not his final destination, that he told me that that was his final destination. He told me that their final destination was Lomé. Then he asked about mine, and I explained to him that I'm still going all the way to Dakar. And I was like, "Oh, Dakar, I love Dakar, it's a very nice place, this, that, and all the good things about Dakar start coming out, you know." And then he was asking that whether I was going to do the vacation or a job or so I explained to them that I actually got a job there, and it was like, "Where and what?" So I explained what the job role was, and then the company too. So, and apparently, I actually know the company. I was like, "Oh, I'm so happy for you. You know, his female companion. I'm so happy. This, that." And then he mentioned something. Go with the Nigerian swagger. I'm like, "Oh, really? That guy has stayed in Nigeria for a long time for him to, you know." I was like, "There's that Nigerian swagger." I was asking, "Are you married?" So I'm like, "Nah, I'm not married." I was like, "Very good, because you are going to like the girls." They're like, "What, bro?" So yeah. And then that was it. That was how the conversation went. And then we just wished each other the very best, you know. And yeah, that was it. You know, it's good to have this kind of conversations. As it is, I have his face marked in my head. We'll see him sometime. Probably not see him again, but then, you know, we get to, at least I was able to actually learn a thing or two about the place and how enjoyable it can actually be, you know, something positive. Because I mean, leaving Nigeria, leaving where I have been for almost all my life to start a new life elsewhere can at first be very, very scary, you know, because the family member I have there, like in Nigeria, I was actually staying with my mom was staying in the same place, you know. But now I'm going out as a full-fledged bachelor, you know, staying alone, that kind of life, if you understand what I mean, you know. It's almost because the language in Senegal is French or Wolof, just a couple of them actually speak English.
And I'm not fluent in any of those languages, but the good thing is that in the corporate world, English is what is mostly used. So, I mean, I'm going to start off no friends. My means of communication is not 100%, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it might sound interesting, but then at first, at the point, I think at the airport, I almost shed tears because I just had to hold myself back. Because, I mean, I was leaving my mother. Yeah, my mother and I are actually very close. So it was kind of like mixed feelings. I mean, the pay was worth it, you know. I mean, it made a lot of sense. So it was, I just can't let this opportunity go. I mean, I've been waiting for a job IT, as an IT person, you know, as a tech bros, you know, and then finally getting this big opportunity. All right, so I just had to take it. So mixed feelings. Yeah, you get a very good job, but you're leaving home, you're sacrificing your family and friends for it. Not sacrifice, I mean, still communicate, but then you get what I mean. So yeah, that was that. So having him say some positive things about the place was actually very, very encouraging. All right, so fast forward to our travel. When we got in, you know, no roaming. I used Glo and Etisalat in Nigeria. I still had the SIM card on my phone. I was off, cut off from the internet, you know. While waiting, you know, you just want to press your phone. I'm like, you know, let me just see if these guys actually even have Wi-Fi here. And then, lo and behold, they actually did. And it was very fast. I'm like, what? Do we have this in Nigeria? Come on. So that was actually a bit, you know, like, this is Lome, Togo. Come on, Nigeria, how far? And then their airport is actually very, very beautiful. Lome's airport is very, 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 very beautiful. I mean, boys, of all the airports I actually visited that day, Nigeria's was actually the worst. I'm not saying a bad thing, but I think we need to, you know, this topic, I think I'm really going to actually talk about it, this topic of Nigeria being the giant of Africa. And then if you move out of that space, you get to see that it's not really like that. I'll actually talk about that later on, but let me just continue on my story. So yeah, we had to wait for a couple of hours for our next flight. You know, the next flight that was meant to take us to, same flight number, but then there will be like a 40-minute stopover at Abidjan. So yeah, the flight came, and then that was exactly what happened. We stayed in Abidjan for like about 40 minutes. We're in the plane. Almost in no time, we're out of Abidjan again. From what I saw from Abidjan to the airport was actually also looking very, very good. I mean, I don't know what's happening, man. I think it was when I got here that I actually heard that the Abidjan airport was actually new. Well, I've not been to Cote d'Ivoire before, so I didn't know that. So, and then lo and behold, around 6 p.m. Senegalese time, we arrived. So immediately I came down from the plane, weather was so cool. Oh my god, I'm like, man, I love this weather already. So for those staying in Nigeria, the weather is like Harmattan, but then with less dust, and then not so, how do I put it, it's not so harsh, it's not harsh on the skin, but then it's very cool. Like the weather is just chilled, not like Harmattan that is you get white after no, but then actually like that was the exact way I felt when I came down, you know. And it was in the evening, so yeah, I'm like, already I love this place because the weather, I prefer staying in a chilly environment than actually staying in a place that can be very, very, very hot. So all good for me. In fact, the Lagos weather, I've spent years in Lagos, but then I've
I've never been able to adjust to that weather. Like, you know what, I'm fine with Lagos heat and whatever. No, never ever been. I mean, so here, coming here, having a cool weather is a plus for me. Then, you know, from the, so when we got down, immigration passed us, you know, series of questions, what did you come to do? Then as a Nigerian, there's just that iron. In fact, one of the immigration officials stopped us and seized the passports of those that were Nigerians. If your purpose for coming to Senegal was for holiday, to get your passport back, you would have to pay 10,000 CFA. So when he got to my turn, you know, I think I was even the first person he actually stopped, and then he asked that, what do I want to come and do in Senegal? Just told him that I'm here for holiday, because I didn't think that, you know, a Nigerian coming to Senegal to come and work, you know, probably have eyes on you, you know. I didn't think that also actually was gonna save me. So he was like, no vacations, you know, in French. I could hear it, I'm like, why blah blah blah, like, it's gonna take my passport till I pay 10,000. Told me to step by the side, all just because I had a Nigerian passport. I've suffered. I mean, that Nigerian passport holds no iota of respect anymore, and it's actually very, very sad. Like, step by the side, others with other passports, you know, Senegalese, Ivorian, they just walk past, you know. And then I'm like, what is this kind of, what is this, man? I'm not going to do this. I'm not paying for this. Just give me my passport and let me go. What's this? You know, it's like, no, you pay 10,000. You know, that's how you said it. You pay 10,000, you know. Yeah, also not so fluent in English, so the accent was a bit, so I'm like, man, no. Then a Nigerian lady comes up, and then she's like, she's here to work. And you guy, oh, really? Cool, where? The blah, 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 blah. Okay, You return her passport back and let her go. I'm like, hey, je travaille, je travaille à Dakar. Like, I told him that, hey, I work in that kind of, like, are you lying? I'm like, no, I can show you my letter. And then I actually showed him my letter. And then he didn't even read this country, he just let me by. There was a guy who was Nigerian too. In fact, I don't know how that, because by the time I had my boxes, you know, going to take my box from where he actually comes out from. Time I got my boxes and I was about to leave the airport, I noticed that the guy was still complaining that this guy have not released my passport for me, or something. I mean, we don't need that as Nigerians, you know. We're still West Africa. Why do we have to be treated, if we are treated like that by West Africans, you know, what do we expect them, the already racist white supremacists, to actually do to us? I mean, I don't know if there's just this stigma to actually being a Nigerian that I actually got notice of. It's not fair. I'm here really hoping that I don't actually have the same in the work environment, and it's actually foreigner friendly, especially to Nigerians. But who knows, man. I'm just keeping my hopes up. Yeah, so yeah, that was how I actually arrived, you know. And already there was actually someone waiting for us, waiting to pick me at the airport. So he had a placard with my name on it, and yeah, I hooked up with him, and then we go on this very lovely ride. As I was moving through, no pothole, the road was smooth, you know, wonderful landscape, the scenery was just amazing. I'm like, Nigeria, which way? Come on, Nigeria, what's going on? This is Senegal, you know.
So, I'm like, the ride was long, no traffic, the sun was setting, you know. This was just so nice. It was just so nice, actually, you know. Then we got to the main town. Apparently, that airport was actually a new airport. There's they call it Bias and Dine or something airport. Then there's the former one was the Yoff airport, you know. But we didn't actually know that. I think the apartment I'm trying to get is actually around that place. I think it's part of the airport land, actually. So, I was able to get to the city, meet up with a family member, and then he actually took me home. So, I think this first episode of this podcast is actually a good one already. Lengthy one, don't let me bore you, but that was my experience from flying, you know, leaving Lagos to, you know, getting to my destination in Dakar. And I'm really hoping that for whatever reason it is that you actually listen to this podcast, you've been able to learn something, or you've been entertained, or if you want to hear more. I don't know if there's a way to actually, if you want to hear more about it, you feel like I should continue, you can actually, I don't know wherever it is that I'll be uploading this to, but yeah, you could subscribe to, I don't know if subscription works, I don't really know how this podcasting works for now, but I don't get the hang of it. I just want to put my content out there, and so yeah, thank you for listening.